tienes en Office Tech Manpower to do?
The Lord said,
my dear King, the source of my strength of which you are asking is also the source of yours.
Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or non-moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoise towards everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools are very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the 10 directions. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. Hiranyakashipu replied, you rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you are better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die. O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son Prahlad with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhishthir, this sound reached even the bodies of the demigods like Lord Brahma, even the abodes of Lord Brahma, like Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful tumultuous sound which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. To prove the statement of his servant, Prahlad Maharaj, was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, "What is this creature that is half man and half lion?" Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his body, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dwelling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain, like jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hair of his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Just as a small insect falls, just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire, and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisimhadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisimhadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. O Yudhishthir, O son of Bharat, when Lord Nrisimhadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisimhadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attack the Lord with great force. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gap open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth. His eyes closed because of fear of Nrisimhadev's laughter. As a snake captures a mouse or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisimhadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisimhadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs, and in the doorway of the assembly hall of the Lord, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. So this is how Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had these benedictions that he practically became immortal. No man or animal or Gandharva or Deva would be able to kill him. Fine. Therefore, Lord assumed a form which is neither a man nor an animal. Half lion, half man. He captured him and placed him on his lap, which is neither the sky nor the land. He was not to be killed inside the room or outside the room. He sat on the doorstep, which is neither inside nor outside. And it was at the time when the day was turning into night, the dusk, when it was neither day nor night. He was not to be killed by any weapon. So he used his nails. With the nails he actually pierced open his abdomen and pulled out his intestine along with the heart. This is how he killed Hiranyakashipu. So no matter how much one tries to become immortal in this material nature, one cannot become immortal. No matter how much one tries to avoid death, one will never be able to avoid death. No matter how much one tries to outsmart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he'll never be able to outsmart the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the inconceivable characteristic of the needs of the Lord. He is endowed with inconceivable power. He is endowed with inconceivable abilities. Shri Shri Nrisimha Bhagavan ki
Jai.
Nrisimha Chaturdasi ki
Jai.
Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day celebration ki
Jai.
Gaur Premanande
Jai.
Does anybody have any question? Yes, Shri
Krishna. This Ravan never did anything against Lord. We see in Jaya and Vijaya that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he forgave. But usually we see that Lord kills, and that is his forgiveness is by killing them. So is there any special reason for that they have to be killed to correct them, or they can be corrected?
Yeah, the Lord kills, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are so merciful that they don't kill.
Yes.
They killed the demon. They didn't kill Jagai and Madhe, who also were demon. They didn't kill them. He didn't kill them. But he killed the demoniac tendency, demoniac mentality. That they destroyed. And they gave them Krishna prema.
Okay. There were only three births that they had to take, but why they came then?
Because Mahaprabhu's appearance is hidden. That's why the fourth one, three births as demon.
And this was also demon, but...
The fourth birth, conclusion. So, and because Mahaprabhu's identity is hidden, this one was also kept as a secret, disappearing.
So, although, like demigods are, they understand that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then lot of plays, so why they are afraid when like he slipped from, Hiranyaksha slipped from the hands, or the mace fell down, or this Hiranyakashipu also got released, so Lord gives them the chance to play, but why the demigods are so much perturbed?
Yeah, this is how the Lord's potency, Lord's pastimes are arranged by Yogamaya. Because, say for example, now that we all know, if we are seeing Hiranyakashipu and Nrisingha fighting, will we be worried? We already know the conclusion. We already know what's going to happen. So no matter how fearsome the situation may appear, because we know that he'll kill,
because we know the Lord,
we can't really appreciate the real pastime. But in order to appreciate the real pastimes, we have to be there at that moment. And by acting in this way, what the Lord is doing? He is creating anxiety in their hearts. And that anxiety will increase their love for him. This anxiety is a source of love or is an outcome of love. So that is how the Lord bestows his mercy upon his devotee.
Lord has a nature. And like our nature is according to our moves. So it seems that that Yogamaya supersedes the Lord because she is creating that nature for the Lord.
She does. Just like the director even directs the hero, tells the hero how to act. Right? So Yogamaya, in order to enhance the pastimes, you see, makes even the Lord becomes influenced by him in a way. Of course, he is all cognizant, but he allows himself to function under Yogamaya. That's why we see Ramchandra crying for Sita. When Ravan stole Sita, he is crying. How can the Supreme Personality of Godhead cry like that?
Parvati got bewildered. When Parvati and Lord Shiva was passing by, she got bewildered at her.
Right.
The Supreme Lord at night is crying like ordinary
human being. Right. So you have to understand that it's the arrangement of Yogamaya.
But Lord Ram knew that this is a Chaya Sita. Why is he, the one that was stolen was not real Sita?
He is playing, he is acting.
So did he knew or he is acting? Did he knew or it was under the Yogamaya? They are doing it in reality. He does it in reality. We call it acting. That is different. But he acts.
This is how these are all achinta. We will never be able to understand. He is acting at the same time, bathed and obeyed. He's acting at the same time, because in order to act, a good actor has to forget himself. He has to become that.
Yes. Then only he can.
Then only he can act.
Otherwise it won't be real.
It won't be, yeah.
Better it is when they really do naturally.
Right, yeah.
Well, once there was a scientist in a lecture that one of the reasons why Ram is crying in the forest while traveling in the absence of Sita, that there was a statement saying that Lord Ram at this time in the forest, he is like a mendicant or a yogi that has rejected everything, all comforts of the kingdom, and he is there to simply take shelter of the great sages in their association. From that teaching, what he is trying to show is that if one is total desire of a sadhu sangha and a moksha, and one who has rejected his home, if he travels as a householder with his wife along with him, then he is destined to go through all this type of difficulty if he doesn't go to the forest himself and take vanaprastha and go alone. Can it be understood that way?
Well, the Lord's pastime has many features. So yes, it can be, because his teaching, Lord Ramchandra is teaching through his pastimes, the Marjada Purushottam. He is giving the lesson. I mean, one can take it that way also, but then again the question is that sometimes it is advised that at Vanaprastha the husband and wife go together, but they don't live like husband and wife. They are not living like husband and wife in the forest.
I think like in also
they are living like Vanaprasthas.
Also in Bhagavatam, in a context of Rishabdev, when Bharat Maharaj, Rishabdev is to leave the kingdom and go to the forest, then at that time Bharat Maharaj is asking, as you know, a person like you who is totally detached, what difference does it make whether you are in the kingdom or in the forest? So he actually gave an example of a hunter and a deer, that even if the deer has shot the hunter well enough that he can leave the deer and just go for the next one, but he doesn't keep full trust because the deer is still alive. If he goes away, then deer might just get up and start, you know, just walking out. So in the same way, in that same context, he gives that the senses are not totally dead. If you are in a kingdom, you are in an environment where the sense gratification can still hamper you. So therefore, it is important that you go to the forest and be away from the sense objects.
Anyway, he is also teaching a lesson for living entities like Panchashuddha Bonang Project. But nowadays Bonang Project is not possible, so Panchashuddha Iskan Project. After 50, come to Iskan. Just then. Vrindavan Chandra. Yes, Chandrasekhar.
Just a small comment, I was wondering if you could comment on it. Prahlad Maharaj's instructions, it just occurred to me how relevant those specific instructions are to the United Nations context of yesterday, in which they talk about enemies and making peace, and here Prahlad Maharaj's instructions about no one being the enemy except one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, not only UN, United Nations, it can be given to anybody who wants to. Yeah, that's true. I mean, actually I was also thinking at the back of my mind, special the first one, that unless and until one has come to this platform of equanimity, unless one is completely equipoised, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to control his senses and find that these six enemies have to be defeated. Only then one can conquer it. Then one can properly peaceful. Yeah, good. Good point.
Which are the six enemies?
Lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, and pride.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You said that he came, he wanted to enjoy the wilderness. Right. Then you saw later you wanted to see how it feels to be loved as a child, and then as Radharani how it feels to. So even on the transcendental platform, Lord, why does the Lord want to enjoy these rasas? Are the rasas beyond the material platform?
Yeah, yeah. These rasas are transcendental rasas. They are not material. In the material nature there is a reflection of these rasas. Actually, the real rasa, the transcendental rasa, is between the Lord and his devotees. And in the material nature, what happens, the living entities tries to experience these rasas with other living entities. In the spiritual sky, the Lord is the enjoyer of these rasas, and the devotees provide that facility to the Lord. But in the material nature, a conditioned soul wants to enjoy these rasas by exploiting others.
So, Lord cannot create those rasas in the spiritual kingdom, that he has to come to the material world? Like
some rasas cannot be. Some rasas cannot be. But it can be only in Vrindavan. Only in Vrindavan.
Golok Vrindavan or Mom Vrindavan?
Both. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about spiritual, like in, ultimately it's Golok Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna can, you know, all the rasas, Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the only personality of Godhead who is the reservoir of all rasas. That has been described when Krishna entered into the arena. Then how different individuals saw Krishna in different ways according to their mellows. Mallanam asani. The mallas, the wrestlers, they derive joy out of Virarasa. They saw him as an asani, thunderbolt. Nrinang Naravara too, the ordinary people, he looked like the best of the king. Strinam Smaramurtimana. And the women saw him as the personification of Cupid. So handsome. Like they automatically became attracted to him. Asatanam Asatanam Kshiti Bhujang Shasta. Oh no, before that, Gopanam Sajana. And the cowherd boys, folks of Vrindavan, they saw him as their kinsman, dear most kinsman. And Asatanam, those who are miscreant, Kshiti Bhujang Shasta, the punishing king. The king who gives punishment. And Saupitra Shishu. To the elders, he appeared to be like just like their own child. And then Mrittu Bhojapate. Kamsa saw him as death personified. And Vrishninam, and to the Vrishni, Virata, Abhidusham, those who were unintelligent, they saw him as the universal form. Sometimes people make a big thing out of universal form of the Lord in 11th canto, but actually it is for less intelligent people. And to the Vrishnis, he appeared to be the supreme personality. So the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, all different rasas are perfectly manifest in him. And that is actually Krishna in Vrindavan. Brajendra Nandan Krishna. Yes.
So what I was saying that he gave the example of the Jiva Goswami thinking that this Bhom Vrindavan is the real place of the Lord because he enjoys all the mellows, and because of the mellows, and the Golok Vrindavan is because he does not enjoy all the mellows, that is just like a reflection of the Bhom Vrindavan, and he likes to come and goes from one universe to another to enjoy all the mellows. I don't know how far, but that is what I remember reading. I may have interpreted wrongly, but that Bhom Vrindavan is his real place of the Supreme Lord, and Golok Vrindavan is like a reflection, rather the opposite way, that Golok Vrindavan and Bhom Vrindavan, that Golok Vrindavan and Krishna comes to Bhom Vrindavan, but because of his Akhila Rasamrita syndrome, he cannot enjoy. That is, just killing demons is just a reflection, it is not reality, but reality happens in this universe, so that is his real place.
Well, the thing is, you know, these Prabhupada did not want us to get too much into this intellectual thing. I mean, Jiva Goswami, I mean, the Goswami literatures are important, but our business is to just become engaged in Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. That is how we are actually going to get the real entrance. You know. Let us get out of this, you know, bodily concept of life. Let us get out of the prison house of material existence. Why try get into that, whether Bhauma Vrindavan is the real place of Lord's pastimes and Golok Vrindavan is a reflection? And there are so many. I mean, naturally, it is understandable. It's Jiva Goswami's comment. I mean, when you hear, we understand that. Because there, in Golok Vrindavan, all the mellows are not really manifest. They're kind of, in Golok Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't take birth and grow up. His Bala Leela is not there. Only his Koishar Leela is there. So, it is understandable, like when we hear, naturally it makes sense. And obviously, you know, Jiva Goswami writes, you know, I mean, it's Jiva Goswami's statement. But the point is, okay, we understand that and just harbor it in our mind, harbor it in our heart, but carry on with our service. If we get too much absorbed in that, then as it is happening, like there is no one to even cook for the deities. No one is even to dress for the deities. Deity worship is, you know, neglected, not going on. Deity, you know, taking care of the deities in the altar is not taken care of. But, you know, we are just indulging in these commentaries and all, you know. So, Prabhupada wanted us to be very practical. Practical means do whatever is necessary to spread Krishna consciousness. And when Krishna consciousness spreads and it has spread all over the world, then we can take it easy at the age of when you are old. Then we can sit in Vrindavan and go into Goswami literatures. But Prabhupada wanted us to just, when you have the energy, strength in this body, go out and spread Krishna consciousness. And that's why, you know, these books by people like OVL Kapoor and all can be quite misleading. Because they are not in conformity with Srila Prabhupada's teachings and Prabhupada's mood. They don't understand what preaching means. That's why, that's the difference between them and Prabhupada. They were comfortably situated in Vrindavan, but Prabhupada was not. Prabhupada left Vrindavan to come and came to America. That they will never think of. They can't even understand that. You're scratching your head or raised your arm?
No.
Okay.
What time is it?
My flight is at 1:45. Yeah. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hare.
Any reflection from your yesterday's visit, this Muslim Imam and talking about this is, but most of the general Muslims, they think this, that they call it. It's really, that their religion is if somebody kafir,
or
that somebody who is not
a,
that they should be, that
is
religious.
You know, these are all just some PR talks. In this gathering, you know, they have to defend, you know, themselves, and they come up. But the question is, that's the question that came up, like Chandrasekhar was asking, can he talk like that in Arab countries? Can he, even does he talk like that when he goes and gives a sermon in his mosque? Does he speak like that? That's what we have to see. That's the point. How honest one is in his presentation. These are not I mean, people can see that these are not honest presentation, and that as that question person asked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are speaking about that, but the rest of the Muslim world is not really speaking like that. And he was just presenting, oh, that's publicity, that's a media. That's not media. That's not just media. Media is not concocting some stories. That's what is happening. Suicide bomber is a reality. Al-Qaeda is a reality. Bin Laden is a reality. 9/11 is a reality. But anyway, I mean, that's why, I mean, actually I'm also learning that it's pointless, you know, trying to join hands with these people.
At least we need some people who would be affected, like...
I think it is good that, you know, because, you know, I was saying, like people saw the difference between my presentation and their presentation. Like, you know, like we don't have any hidden agenda.
Right.
We are just, I mean, we are prepared. We are come, let's join hands. Let's sit together and discuss about the Supreme Personality of God and how much is your scripture talking about Him and how much information is there. Let's share those informations. If you believe in Allah, find out who Allah is, where does He live, what His name is, how does He look like. Why are you blocked, why are you not accepting that opportunity? If there is information about Krishna, I'll go anywhere to find that. So why aren't you open about it? So that shows that you are not honest about what you are saying.
Very easily people to see the honesty when they see
it. Exactly, right.
So that is an opportunity for preaching.
That's what I was also thinking, you know, like, and anyway, I mean, at least they are giving me a platform. They are Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They are giving me a platform to preach.
Right.
So, and she came to meet me again. I mean, Ralph and Sally came again in the evening. And we spent time in the, after the meeting, and then again they came. And we had some discussions and they are also frustrated.
Yes.
Because it's a difficult task.
Some honest people would feel that.
Right. It's a very difficult task and they are trying. They are trying in their own way. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, your coming was very fruitful. So much so
later. Well, I also felt very happy to be here.
Yes,
I'm sorry that I couldn't...
Yes, present, we feel more at home, we could ask anything. And then the reflection of the time when you come, it makes a big difference.
Thank you.
And
there are
so many conflicts in the mind also. Become peaceful and...
Thank you.
At least
let's see. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Gold
for you. If the same feeling, I would definitely come Karatya.
Yeah, please.
See the other mood of preaching also.